There's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. You guys better split.
Well, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
We got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
Is it beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up.
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. How's being sober?
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey, everybody, this is Dustin.
And this is Seth.
And we are still
drunk
at the movies. Quarantine edition.
Yes.
COVID-19 style.
Yes, we everything is opening back up, and so we are opening back up as well.
Yeah, fuck it, let's watch a movie.
Right, yeah, let's all take our minds off of something. Although, I do encourage everyone to be safe. Cover up when you go out.
Use protection.
Yes, cover it up. Wrap that up.
Gotta wrap that shit up, B. So, the last time you guys heard from us, we were doing our Star Wars movie marathon. We made it from episode one up until the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes.
Following A New Hope.
Yeah.
We have plans eventually to do Empire through, what was it? The Rise of Skywalker.
Yep. Rise of Skywalker's most recent. Yeah. And, you know what? Maybe this is one of the few decent things that came out of all the horribleness in the last few months. I think I needed a break from the Star Wars marathon.
Yeah,
episodes 1 through 3 in a row was really rough. That was a rough day.
So we were talking and we were trying to think of something light, and I just happened to think of this movie. It has literally been on my DVD shelf with this podcast in mind for years. And it's just never happened. I think it's even been referenced on past episodes. But what we are going to watch is the movie Clifford, starring Martin Short as a 10-year-old boy. And Charles Grodin, Mary Steenburgen,
Dabney Coleman. The last two names are what sold me on it. I have avoided this film intentionally ever since it came out when I was 13.
But you liked Charles Grodin.
I loved Charles Grodin in Midnight Run. His little cameo in Rosemary's Baby, I mean, Oscar snub.
The Beethoven movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the Beethoven movies.
Huge fan of St. Bernard dog movies.
And I assume that this movie is the exact same character he's played in all the Beethoven movies.
Yes,
and
it is.
Also everything else Charles Grodin has been in.
Pretty much. So, yeah, it's a very under-the-radar movie. I watched it a lot as a kid and had it on. I think I taped it off a TV or something, or I just rented it frequently at the video store. I'm not sure, but I came across a DVD copy at Mega Replay when I was looking for off-the-wall shit for this show. Heartbeeps was another one I picked up that time, which we already did.
Worth it.
Yeah, so it's like, well, if I'm going to pay $20 for this DVD, we definitely have to do an episode on it, and let's do something slightly amusing, given with what's going on in the world right now. Maybe we need a little bit of levity at times.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for. So we're actually drinking again. That's something that happened since last time we talked. We were sponsored by a pizza company, and we just did the episode sober because we were watching a lot of them. But around March, I had planned to jump off the wagon anyway. Mm-hmm. I was just taking about 3 or 4 months off, and I was going to Vegas for 311 day, and I was like, all right, I'm drinking when I go to Vegas. I go to Vegas, I have a blast. I was
so envious, by the way, for all of our 311 fans out there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was under the influence of a lot of stuff while I was there because it's Vegas.
You were under the influence of kick-ass music.
Right. And I come home to a world that wasn't the world I left. It was so bizarre how quick things changed. I was in this bubble in Vegas. And while I was there, people were hoarding toilet paper and freaking out and all this kind of stuff. And I came home, and within a matter of 3 days, I was sent home from work for 2 weeks. And repeat, repeat, repeat for the past 3 months. And it seems like we're getting back to normal, but I picked a great time to start drinking again because it has helped pass the time through these lockdown weeks. I've watched a lot of movies. In fact, I think I watched so many movies, I kind of burned myself out a bit.
Yeah.
And I was focusing on other projects. We got the new Ernest show. I got on this feed the new Drunken Lullaby spinoff. This is the first spinoff. Mm-hmm. Now we got my personal mixtape, which I sit down with musicians and talk about their favorite songs that they've ever written, and I'm having a lot of fun with that. So I've stayed busy, but sometimes you just want to sit down and drink some beers with a buddy and have some laughs, and that's what we're here to do today.
And I went through something similar, but more recently I decided that this month I am not going to drink unless it's a special occasion for, you know, socializing with someone, or if like I'm on a date or something like that.
Okay.
And all that happened was I found myself out on a lot more social situations and dates. So yeah,
there you go.
I'm still drinking as much, but hey, I'm, you know, hanging out with people. That's fun.
That's good. Socializing is good. And before we start the movie, we've got to have our opening credit song. I had to remember what the structure of the show was because it's been a while.
You almost forgot to say drunk at the movies at the same time.
I did. I noticed that. I totally forgot.
Well, when you run 5 podcasts and
I got a wedding,
have a family, and you got a lot going on. You can't remember to say things at the same time as me.
Yeah. So this song is called Dabney Coleman Part 5. It would have been better if it was like a Mambo Number 5 parody, but it was just all about Dabney Coleman, but it's not. It's called Dabney Coleman Part 5 by the band The Dirty White. I just found this randomly on Spotify, trying to find songs that could tie into the movie, and I was like, yeah, okay, I dig this.
It works.
This will work.
Anybody who writes a song about Dabney Coleman, you're welcome on our show.
And this is the second Dabney Coleman movie to be featured on this program. The first being, of course, one of my all-time favorites, Cloak and Dagger.
Mm-hmm. The prequel to Fight Club.
Yeah, if you haven't watched that movie or listened to that episode, go revisit it. I actually did revisit some of our episodes through the initial couple weeks of the lockdown. I was like, I miss hanging out with friends. I'm going to watch some movies. And I'm going to listen along, like, how it's supposed to be, and sync it up. And I really enjoyed that one and some of the others we've done. And it was nice to not feel so alone.
And one of the funnest things, and I'm sure I mentioned this last time we talked about Cloak and Dagger, is that the old couple, the sheriff from Psycho, the sheriff of Fairvale, and the voice of Mrs. Bates.
And I did mention that on the show.
Okay. All right. That's the third time you've heard it, if you're a fan.
Yep. So, without any further ado, this is The Dirty White, Dabney Coleman Part 5, and then we'll come back and we'll start the movie here on Drunk at the Movies.
You are the
Okay, well, if you're a freak like me and you own this on DVD, get it ready. I'm pretty sure it doesn't have a Blu-ray release. That's why I had to pay $20 for a standard DVD.
And I'm going to guess that this
it's probably streaming somewhere.
This screen is probably the most thought they put into any of this movie. It's very well composed menu screen here, but for some reason has the Gilligan's Island font for all of the choices, so I'm not sure what's up with that.
So something that I found fairly recently, and I'm going to give them a shout out for free, there's an app called Just Watch, and if you're like myself, you'll think of a movie and be like, hey, is that streaming anywhere? And it's really tough to like Google that, because you'll find articles from months ago, and it's not up to date. I just typed in Clifford, and I can tell you it is available for streaming on HBO Max, HBO Now, HBO Go, and you can also rent it through Google Play, YouTube, Fandango, Vudu for like $3.99. But you type in a movie, it'll tell you how you can stream it, rent it, or buy it through all the services. It saves so much time.
And what's it called?
It's called Just Watch. It's
Just
a
Watch.
Free app that you can get from the App Store. So I use that quite frequently. If you have HBO, shit, turn it on.
Yeah.
Let's do this. It probably won't be on there forever. It may be gone by the time you listen to this. We don't know. But hit play in 3, 2, 1.
And that's on the one. That's not 3, 2, 1, go. That's
jamming on the one.
As always.
I don't remember how I even found this movie. I think I saw a trailer on some other movie I rented. And I was like, that looks bizarre and quirky. And I like Martin Short. I'm a Martin Short fan. I know some people don't dig him as much. Brianna's one of them.
Yeah, and Sarah's not a big fan for some reason.
Maybe,
He just annoys people for some reason. I think he's over the top.
Yeah, Ed Grimley character. But, like, this is the tail end. He had a really good run with, like, Inner Space and...
Yeah, a great film. Such a great
movies. Three Amigos.
Want to read this in your radio voice?
From the beginning of time, children have dreamed of exciting and perilous adventures. Oh, crap.
This is one such story.
It's a weird beginning.
Hey, they have Avid.
Yeah, it starts like a children's book here. And we have... like music from Drop Dead Fred or something.
It does.
Same time frame.
Although this was made 3 years before it was released.
Yeah, it came out in 94, made in 1990, 91, and it just sat. They didn't know how to market it, for one. Also, Orion Pictures wasn't doing very well.
They had filed for bankruptcy, and they had a series of films that just had to automatically go on the back burner because they couldn't afford to release them. And there was a rumor for a long time that the reason this movie took so long to release was because it tested so poorly with audiences. And no, it's just that Orion...
Richard Kind.
I love Richard Kind.
I like Richard Kind a lot.
Everybody says he's a great guy. They say he's actually like just a really nice person. He's like a
Fred Willard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
R.I.P.
Fred Willard.
R.I.P. Yeah, shout out to
that's one that's happened since last time we recorded. If you haven't seen Space Force yet, one of the best parts about the series, whatever you think of it,
Only watched the first episode.
Yeah, he is hilarious in it. And he was excellent in I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Mm. That's an excellent sketch comedy show. Everything about it's fantastic.
This one is of the really best skits for Fred Willard. For a long time.
The podcast or the movie?
Just the credit sequence.
Both, technically.
Written by J.D. Rock. Sounds like a rapper to me.
And that's one of the things I learned about this film is the two screenwriters used pseudonyms when it was released because they were so ashamed.
So it's an Alan Smithy film?
It is. It's an Alan Smithy film.
Yeah.
Directed by Paul Flaherty. He was in SCTV. He was one of the SCTV writers and directors.
So now we have
old
Martin Short here.
Not bad makeup, I gotta say.
Yeah, he's looking very crusty.
He's dressed kind of like Manos for some reason.
He's a futuristic priest at a wayward Boysville, it says. And you will see our tale begins once upon a time in the future. We were a long time ago.
Is 2050
in a galaxy far, far away? Last time, now we are 30 years in the future.
Now we are not that long ago, not right. Very far away.
I gotta admit, for it being the future, this looks more realistic than a lot of
than futuristic every movies. '90s and '80s future movie. Total like, Recall, no.
Yeah, the kids are still kind of dressed similar. They're tending a garden, so there's still vegetation on the planet. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a priest at this point.
Who is that kid? That actor looks familiar.
I don't know, but you will recognize one of the other boys here in just a little bit. He was on a little show called Boy Meets World.
Ah.
Oh. I, of course, am referring to Lil Ben Savage.
Okay. I'm already laughing.
Yeah. What? Somebody just did a header onto him, and it was Ben Savage. Oh, no. What the hell happened?
Nope. Oh, pause. Everybody pause.
I don't know what happened. We just...
Uh-oh. Oh, great. The world is ending right when we're doing our podcast.
What the hell?
For some reason.
This is why we can't have nice things, Clifford DVD.
Now the Koreans attack.
No signal. I'm not going to take that as a sign. I think...
I'm taking it as a sign. Sorry.
I didn't think I would have to do extra editing on this episode, but apparently so. Yeah, it's like the DVD player just completely shut off.
It knows that it's watching Clifford.
So we're going to reboot that here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it totally changed what
it just switched source to a different input.
We were on. I was just trying to turn it up so the people could hear it.
Oh, it was you. You hit the wrong button.
Oh, we're back.
So the movie opens with our 10-year-old lead character dying in the future.
Oh, look who's recovered!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's got to tell him a story of when he was a boy, of
okay.
course.
So it's just like Johnny Dangerously.
With Michael Keaton?
Mm-hmm.
Never saw it.
Excellent film. Surprisingly holds up. Still very funny.
And whenever there's something I really, really want, there's always some adult who comes along and says, no. Like Mr. The other day he said I could be on the basketball team, and then he said I couldn't.
Because you suck.
And you felt that blowing up the gymnasium was an appropriate response then?
Yes, I did.
Even though your parents were the ones who told Mr. Fern that they didn't want you playing any contact sports.
The captions do not match what is being
not
said.
Not at all. A lot of the delivery in the comedy is being lost, you know, in the closed captioning. The I'm disappointed in this closed captioning.
Yeah.
I don't care what they think.
Then why are you running away? What's your IQ, son?
This is some pretty good age makeup for 1990. Well, 1990.
Yeah.
Mine's 190.
Oh, wait. I forgot. Mine is 195.
That's pretty high.
That's not bad.
They're both geniuses.
But that's not really the point. The point is that people like you and I...
Red and black is an interesting look for a priest.
It's one of my favorite color combos.
Oh, mine too.
Alkaline Trio, that's their color scheme.
But I'm kind of a Satanist, so... Yeah,
so are they.
Yeah, there you go. Marilyn Manson, a lot of red and black album covers.
So what I forgot to mention is in the year 2015, the Dark Lord has risen and taken over, and now all churches are for Satan, maybe.
The future sounds awesome. Well, better.
Yeah. All right, now we're in the past.
There's Richard Kind.
And there is Martin Short's head. So, he is now a 10-year-old. Rather than have a kid, they just have a short, literally, short man play a kid. And I feel he does a good job playing an annoying kid. Who's obsessed with dinosaurs? I was... obsessed with dinosaurs when I was little, too.
I was lightly obsessed, but I think I didn't have the attention span to become, like, truly obsessed. So it was just like, I like to know which ones exist. And that was it. Existed.
Perhaps you were just having a nightmare about your early days in the circus.
One more word out of you, I'll call the flight attendant.
So this came out after Problem Child.
Mm-hmm. But technically, it would have been it made before or maybe around the same time.
I'm trying to remember what year
Problem Child came out.
I think it was about the same time. I wonder if this was Orion's response to the existence of Problem Child.
Richard Kind playing his dad.
Why did you wake me? I didn't wake you. Stefan did. Why wouldn't you let him sleep?
So yeah, the first Problem Child came out in 1990.
Okay.
So I'm guessing while it was being made, Orion caught wind of it or vice versa. I'm guessing it was being made. Orion was like, hey, let's make a competing film, but let's change it up a little bit. I'm guessing, and I did not do research to this. This is just assuming.
Speculation.
Yeah, speculation. Paul Flaherty, who clearly was SCTV, and Martin Short have worked together for years. Paul Flaherty actually directed, I think, all the episodes of Jiminy Glick. So,
is he related to Joe?
I think so.
Like they're brothers or something?
And so I'm guessing that when he was hired as director, knowing there was this other movie coming out, he said, let's change it up and have Martin Short play the 10-year-old. I've got a relationship with him. And the studio was like, that's a great idea. And we all see what happened.
Her children. I don't know. Maybe that's one reason why I liked it is because it seems like it's supposed to be a kid's movie. But the humor coming from Martin Short as the kid is much more adult than just... I don't know. It's so bizarre, but it works for me. And you said you always thought it was about the big red dog, which I think confused a lot of people.
No wonder nobody liked it. They went there thinking they'd see a big red dog at the theater. Yeah,
and instead they get this.
My name is I thought that was Bryan Cranston for a second. I was really excited.
Gets to go to the cockpit.
I was wondering, my captain, if we could land in Los Angeles so I could go to Dinosaur World.
The only way we could land in Los Angeles would be for an emergency.
Whatever you say, my captain.
Uh-oh. thinking of trouble apparently gives little Clifford an orgasm.
Yeah, glazed over eyes.
Where's Clifford?
Mom's drunk. And now the plane's crashing.
What? Okay.
Hang in.
Oh, the situation is under control.
Regain control in number 4, Los Angeles. Where's permission for emergency landing procedure?
He really wants to go to Dinosaur World.
This is LAX approach. You are cleared for immediate landing on runway 23.
So do you think he had to dwarf it?
I think so. I think there was some kind of dwarfination going on.
For those who don't know what dwarf is, Tim Conway of Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett Show and Apple Dumpling Gang movies.
Private Eyes, which is actually a great film.
He would stand on his knees and be this weird guy who did... sports.
Golf.
It was mostly golf at first, but then it took off. So then Dorf did a bunch of other things.
Yeah, and the whole Dorf doing things, as we're saying, those were literally the titles of the films. It was like Dorf does golf.
Like
Dorf does whatever.
Ernest always gets those jokes, but Dorf just kind of gets forgotten.
Yeah.
Dorf was, I think, worse at this than Ernest was.
Did you ever see Dorf? What was it called? Dorf Does Dallas. That's what it was.
Yeah, I think that killed the franchise. There's Charles Grodin, his uncle Martin.
One was to build a great mass transit system for what was known at that time as
Los Angeles. It is not known now as the city of Los Angeles. What happens in the next 30 years? Does it fall into the ocean?
Oh, Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah.
Hi.
I still say she's aged very well.
She's aged extremely well. She's still very attractive.
As a kid, I always found her kind of mousy. And there was something about her that didn't quite I don't know. It was also because I was younger and I was comparing her to like Kelly LeBrock and Elizabeth Shue. And,
right.
But as I got older.
Well, clearly you were into blondes in the first place.
Yeah.
So.
Not Susanna Hoffs. She's a brunette. But
yeah.
Eventually I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, there's something about her.
There's this wisdom. She just she seems very wise and cultured. And not snobbish about it.
Very sweet.
Yes, and very, very sweet.
She's still with Ted Danson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last I knew. Because they've both been in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Still.
What am I looking at?
The house! I bought it!
It's on a cliff?
That's what you want! A cliff!
That's a... It looks like a warehouse, almost. It's that? A modern home. And she is not very thrilled with
that's
it.
Funny.
Aesthetically.
Because you know that, like, by the time this movie was released, that house was actually very much high in demand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why this movie didn't do well. A lot happened from 90 to 93. This movie is still in the late 80s.
Martin?
Look at those shoulder pads.
How many bedrooms in this house?
One, honey. One bedroom.
So, what we're gathering here, what they're smacking you in the face with... She obviously wants a family.
Yeah.
And he has no thought whatsoever of that because one bedroom and there's no backyard. It's off a cliff. Obviously not safe for a baby.
It's a bachelor pad. It's where a marketing guy takes women that he says, hey, are you an actress?
And he didn't want kids either.
Oh.
Then I said I didn't want kids.
You don't have to say it. It's so obvious.
We said it for you.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this.
There you go.
Bing. All right. You never want to predict the script right before.
Oh, the kid's going to sleep on a sofa bed.
Stupid? We say stupid?
Stupid!
Are you saying this house couldn't work for kids?
Oh, no, it's perfect. Where are the kids, honey? Oh, they're just out back playing on the cliff.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, Sarah. I love kids.
Oh, you don't. I saw you today.
Groden's not very good in this.
He's really hamming it up more than usual.
Yeah, he's like looking to the sky the whole time.
You never mentioned you had a nephew.
I love my nephew.
What's his name?
I want to say Mason.
Clifford. Little Clifford.
Anytime an actor is, like, really overacting in the 80s, especially the latter half of the 80s, early 90s, I assume there's cocaine going on.
As much as we'd like to. I will tell you this. I have heard that Clifford is a very special...
Although his work shirt there is a little ahead of the time. That whole unnecessary things on the shoulders,
oh,
that didn't become big until, like, the early
2000s for men. Did it again, didn't you? Get banned from the flight. They're not going to allow you back on the plane, which means that I'm going to miss the convention tomorrow, which means that I'm going to lose thousands of dollars in speaker's fees. Do you understand me?
Is he doing a Cagney impression?
I don't know. It's weird because, like...
Where did you get that Walkman? Did you steal it? Oh, my God! Is there no end to your madness?
Richard Kind's always been older. So it's weird sometimes revisiting things and being like, oh, I'm actually, like... The age he is right here, probably.
Yeah, interesting.
I've been noticing, I've been watching a lot of old stuff and like...
What are you packing in now, huh?
All right.
2 dozen jelly donuts a day, huh?
Body shaming.
Yeah.
Your heart.
Daddy, it's coming. Oh, God. Oh, Theodora. What am I going to do?
Theodora.
There's a name that died in the 90s along with this movie.
What?
I have a great idea. Doesn't Uncle Martin live in Los Angeles?
And here we go.
I can go to his house, and then you could go to Hawaii, and I could go to Dinosaur World.
And the plot takes off.
And you can be rid of me for a week. Drunk mom seems into it.
So do they bomb Los Angeles while they're in Hawaii to get rid of their kid? Is that what happens by 2050?
Brother. Huh.
Your brother, Julian.
That's weird.
Yeah,
Martin, you just called after I mentioned you,
right?
Over the years, and I wouldn't blame you if you hung up on me now, but don't hang up, okay? I'm in a terrible dilemma.
I have a tremendous favor to ask you.
Recorders, definitely an annoying kid thing.
Yeah.
I told them that I had this lucrative speaking engagement, and the Clifford gets air sick.
Dinosaur World, I'm going to.
He almost seemed excited about it.
So that's where this is going now. Now he's going to have the nephew, and he can impress his girlfriend with how good he is with kids. If only it were to go that smooth.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have a movie to sit through.
That's true.
Clifford.
I think I've seen her in other stuff. Oh, he made sign.
Remember that paper?
Yeah.
Computer paper with the perforated edges and the holes on the side.
That was really annoying when he'd have to tear those off afterwards. Oh, he's sniffing the marker in his sleep.
Yeah.
Don't reject me!
His jacket looks like one of those ready-made Austin Powers Halloween costumes that you get at Spirit Halloween.
Gotta go big.
I'm guessing he's supposed to be like a prep school kid.
I think that's what they're going for.
Which makes sense. Like, the parents don't seem to like him.
I think that's an actual kid. That's an actual kid for the body double.
Yeah.
Dinosaur world now?
Dinosaur world? It's closed. It's 10:30, Clifford. But I'll let you in on a little secret. I've got a lifetime pass to Dinosaur World because I designed Larry the Scary...
Scary Rex? You designed Larry the Scary Rex?
What a coincidence.
Whoa.
I'm Larry the Scary Rex. I'm a scary dinosaur. But don't be scared of my sharp, sharp teeth and my mighty, mighty roar.
An extra in the back is really hamming it up.
He's like, look at these idiots in front of me.
Rolling my eyes almost as much as he is.
Have you guys unloaded everything on flight 791 yet?
Oh, yeah.
Well, so far I'm missing a mountain bike, a stereo, a surfboard, and a big brown dog.
And guess who has them all?
You brought a lot of stuff.
Uncle Martin, my dad's scared of burglars. He makes us take everything when we go on a trip.
And your dog.
I couldn't leave my sneakers at home.
Of course you couldn't.
Oh, there's the big dog we were looking for.
Yeah, that's a... He's not red, though.
Sarah's gonna be so excited to meet you. I told her how special you are to me.
But we've never met before.
That's not true. I was with you at the christening.
Oh, yeah, we go way back.
I spent the whole day in your company. I have the utmost admiration.
So Martin Short was, I believe, 40 when they shot this movie.
That'd be like me playing an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Sarah loves dogs. Come on, Steve. Come on, Steve.
I have an uncle kind of like this, but he's like my dad's sister's husband.
Kind of like this and this. Like
I'd never see him.
Okay.
Like, I can count on two hands the number of times I've seen him in my life. But he's kind of agoraphobic, and he just doesn't really leave the house.
I thought that meant he hated gory movies.
Yeah, it may be. Like, I think the last time I even saw him was at her retirement party, and before that had probably been 15 years. So in the last, like, 20 years, I've seen him once.
Did you show up with, like, a stolen stereo and a German Shepherd?
Yeah, and I was like, this is my dog's sneakers. Oh, we have a shower scene. This is the second movie I can recall that has her in the shower.
What's the first?
One Magic Christmas, where she...
Well, I need to see that.
She sings Stop in the Name of Love while splashing around in the shower.
Did you ever see Life as a House?
Own it.
You do?
I think so.
It's the Kevin Kline movie with her and Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, and a house.
Yeah, and a house.
It's, and Jenna Malone's in it, too, I think.
And the whole movie... It's a metaphor about a guy who has a terminal illness, and he never finished fixing up his house. Mm-hmm. And so he decides he's going to do that. Yeah. And it's a metaphor about his life. And it's such an obvious screenplay that they literally made the title explain the metaphor of life as a house. It's a terrible film. Yeah. But Mary Steenburgen, there's like a 5-second scene where she's having sex with like an 18-year-old.
And
I saw it when I was 19,
and
I loved it. Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason. And you get to see Kevin Kline's butt if you're into that kind of thing.
Boom.
Here it is.
I was even able to reach it from the couch.
Oh my god. You keep this under the couch because of that sex scene, don't you?
New Line Cinema.
also directed by Irwin Winkler.
At the time it came out, I also liked Jenna Malone. Yeah. Now that'd be weird for me to say because I think she plays like a teenager in the movie, but
right.
I was a teenager when it came out.
Yeah. Wasn't Hayden Christensen's character, wasn't he like kind of a goth kid?
I think so, because this was before he played Anakin.
Was it? I think it was in between. Was it? Yeah, because he wasn't in episode one, duh.
Right. That was Jake Lloyd, yeah, little Billy Corgan. And then Kristen Scott Thomas. That's the other one I forgot. Yeah, because I forgot Mary was in this because she's not on the DVD cover.
Which is a crime. That,
yeah,
that's the reason to buy the movie. What's up with you marketing people?
Oh, this part was in the trailer, I think. Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different scene that involves a bowl of something in front of him and tossing of the hair.
Is it a bowl of weed?
It's a bowl of cereal. Mm. It'll happen later. But she's excited that there's a kid. And he's excited because she was in the shower.
Weird.
Yeah. There's going to be a...
Okay, Clifford.
A weird kind of triangle thing. There's
a very bizarre triangle.
May all your dreams be pleasant. And the rainbow arches... Come on, sweetie.
Time to go to bed.
This could easily become a horror film.
Yeah, it could. Oh, there is nudity in this. I forgot.
Woo!
And it, that's why he's watching it. Because it's National Geographic.
This just reminds me of Groucho Marx's line of Animal Crackers. We went down to take pictures of the native girls, but they haven't developed. But we're going back in a couple of weeks.
Stefan felt that was a very cruel action, Uncle Martin.
Oh, will you tell Stefan? It's 2:00 in the morning, and we have to get up very early, because tomorrow we're going to Dinosaur World.
Oh, you're the bestest uncle in the whole wide world.
Clifford was drinking a huge big gulp and eating a glazed donut at 2 in the morning, watching naked black women from Africa. Yeah, that's what most 10-year-olds do.
Did you ever read National Geographic as a kid just to see boobs?
I would get photography magazines at the library. Those had
better boobs. Uh-huh. More your style of boob.
Yeah, more artistic.
I would just watch Cinemax on Scramble and use my imagination.
Like it wasn't just strictly women from Uganda.
It wasn't just tribal. Yeah.
It was like, no, this is just a European lady with her top off and it's art. And I'm like, okay, cool.
I like art.
Uncle Martin?
Raised in the 80s. Oh, he found
a
ring.
Where did you get that?
The dresser over there.
Oh, give me that.
No.
That's very valuable. That's my grandmother's wedding ring.
Then wouldn't she meet my great-grandmother?
Yes.
Then wouldn't this ring be just as much mine as yours?
Property is 9/10 of the law.
I want to marry Miss Sarah Davis and give her this ring.
Isn't that what they say?
That's what I've heard. Something. Like I've heard them say
ownership.
It's
or...
very unrealistic.
I still want the ring.
Well, you can't have it.
But it sparkles.
I like the sparkle as well. I'm going to give Sarah this ring someday.
How exciting! Ring bearer.
We'll see.
So she's a teacher, so that's going to, of course, make her more appealing to Clifford because she has a good...
Wow, those kids must be really young. If that's what a 10-year-old looks like, those are babies.
So yeah, she wants kids, and she's around them all day, so she must really like kids.
Hi, Martin.
Because that's enough to have some people not want kids.
I didn't know you were a teacher. Had I known, I would have brought you an apple. What a charming thing to say. How very thoughtful.
I'm taking Clifford to Dinosaur World.
And leaving him
then
there.
I've got a meeting with Ellis. His deadline is really closing in on me.
Oh, well, it'll be okay. Your ideas are great.
It might be the hair, too.
Come on, Clifford.
The hairstyles that she had around that time.
That weren't you weren't the best. Into? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he pays.
I mean, let's be honest, it's the 80s and early 90s, so a lot of the hair isn't great at all.
Mm-hmm.
He is making Asian jokes.
Yikes.
obsessed with himself. And you know that's supposed to be a
weird. Dressed like Raiden.
Get out of here.
Yes.
Alice wears a rhino. He's got to be the creep. Oh.
There's Dabney with a hairpiece.
Whoa. Unrecognizable Coleman.
I believe we've met.
It'll come up.
This is Miss Sarah Davis, of course. I'm well aware. I'm just proud to have the opportunity to thank you for the wonderful job you've done.
Now, my ex-wife, one of her childhood best friends was Dabney Coleman's niece.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I always thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
She would mention that because I was like, dude, that's Jack Flack. That's one of my, you know, favorite movies as a kid. And she's like, yeah, that was, I can't remember her name, but it's like, yeah, that was her uncle Dabney.
I always loved him most as the antagonist in Modern Problems. Did you ever see that Chevy Chase movie where he, some kind of radioactive sludge gets spilled on him and he has like telekinetic powers?
I don't think I ever saw that. Yeah, they're talking about his wig.
But he was great.
Yeah, he's definitely got a hairpiece on here, and it's it is different looking.
Yeah. Pretty good hairpiece, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good for what it is. It's just, if you know Dabney Coleman, it doesn't look natural.
Exactly.
I'd really love to talk to you about
it. He was in 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Another childhood favorite of mine that he was in was Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yes, Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to Barney.
Barney, yeah.
Model in 2 days? Look, the bottom line is, you've got...
Do companies build these kind of models anymore? You just do it all digitally now, right?
I think a machine builds the 3D model for them. They just...
Think how much time is saved now by not making these miniatures.
Which I think would have been a fun job.
It would. Like Walt Disney loved making those kind of things, and you can actually see some of the original miniature plans for Disney World and Disneyland at the parks in like one of the museum type exhibits, which a lot of people go to Disney World, they don't give a shit about that. They're like, I just want to ride the rides. I geek out over that. Like, holy crap, that's his original plans for Epcot, you know?
I saw there was a traveling bit at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago years ago that was just movie sets that they were just touring. And a lot of it was just small 3D miniatures. Some were from Spaceballs, which I thought was awesome because I had just seen it like 2 years before and was obsessed with the movie. And my mother does. Well, I missed it. What'd he say?
No, Clifford messed with something on a computer panel, and there was like an image of Dabney Coleman in the background.
Looking like Max Headroom.
Max Headroom, but his tooth was blacked out, and he was bald.
That's what it was. So he looked like Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
No, my mother does, as a hobby, she does miniatures. She's been doing it for years, and she's really, really good at it. Like the Thorn Rooms at the Art Institute.
I always find it interesting because I've known a couple females that, and Brianna's one of them, that find miniature scale things like cute and adorable and like they like collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting because I know that's not the case on everything. Not everything being miniature is looked at as a good thing. But overall...
That, I see where you're going with this. Yeah, I don't know many women. I hear that is a fetish. And I don't understand it.
Oh, I recognize that guy. He's like a bit... anytime they need like a Pakistani character cab driver...
A finger-quoted ethnic character.
Oh, is that Reptar? Oh, you can tell who that is under the mask.
Under the hood.
Yeah, he's in somebody else's vehicle. Oh, Augustus Gloop is in there.
Where did you get those clothes?
His kid bought my dinosaur costume.
For $7?
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy?
That's not my brother.
I'm terribly sorry.
Where's my son?
The last time I saw him, he was counting the money that he was given in the men's room.
Oh, God.
You pervert! Oh, my ear! You hit my ear!
this Fight Club? It's the second Fight Club reference I've had to make today.
Oh, Kevin doesn't know how to tie a tie. What are you wearing?
In the world? So, any luck with that chocolate? Any luck with that chocolate? Any luck with that chocolate?
It's one of the first times Charles Grodin makes me laugh at this movie.
I've got that
vinyl collection. What would that guy have in his record collection? Martin does not seem with it.
I feel like a lot of marching band music. Like just college marching
bands. I'm a big Sousa fan myself. Love some good Sousa on vinyl.
That is the only marching composer I know. It's such a fun.
I'm gonna guess like Barry Manilow, Christopher Cross.
Have you ever heard any of John Williams' original stuff? Like not movie composition.
I have strictly only heard composed for movies.
It's weird. It's a very weird
screamo
sound. It pretty much
that'd be crazy. Like
that's all it is.
He's in like a screaming band, and then he just makes these movie scores that are magnificent. But
no, I went once. There was a the Peoria Symphony Orchestra was doing a just John Williams, and it was like, oh, that's interesting, because it was going to be like movie scores and stuff. It got to one of John Williams' originals, and Sarah and I literally thought that it was just the oboist warming up for like a minute and a half. We were like, is he just warming up? Like, it just didn't even sound like music. It was just weird, weird sounds out of an oboe. So
there was a line just now that I'm unsure of what it necessarily meant. I'm not sure if it was a Merkin joke in a kid's movie, but he was talking about taking somebody's wig or toupee, and he said the art teacher at his school also borrows this wig, but for other reasons. I have no idea what that would even mean.
I'm guessing cross-dressing joke?
Maybe.
But I don't. Why would the 10-year-old know that?
Right, and it was a woman. So why would a woman need to borrow
toupee? I don't know. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know where that joke was going.
And it was the 90s, so let's be honest. It wasn't like people were shaving down there with the frequency that they do now.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a very forced joke. Look at that computer. Ellis hit me with about 100
changes to make on the model. He's not playing Minesweeper. Is she in the movie Clue right now?
I wish. Use a pot holder, Cliffy.
Yeah, he's preparing dinner.
Tonight? My parents' anniversary. Why did you? Remember Yvette from Clue? Obviously the maid. Stupid question. I'm so sorry. Stupid question.
Yeah, we did that movie. Of course I remember Yvette.
I can't remember. It's all blurred. Did we talk about the other roles that she's had where you're like, holy shit, that's Yvette from Clue?
Yes.
It's so bizarre when you think about other movies she's been in, and she looks nothing like her.
That Clue is a magical time.
Yeah.
And she made the most of it.
Yeah. Everyone in that movie is perfect.
He does that creepy face. Maybe I think that's why Brianna doesn't like Martin Short.
Because he does that creepy face a lot.
He does like that kind of stuff. She also doesn't like Pee Wee Herman. She's not a fan of Ernest. She likes Jim Varney. She doesn't like Ernest.
Doesn't like that character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so now he's doing like a Home Alone thing here.
That's weird. My brother had
editing.
Yeah. My brother had that answering machine that he just went to, and he had that exact same stereo.
He's making a tape. Do you like Uncle Martin? Excuse me. So do I.
This is Martin Daniels. I've got a bomb.
Holy shit. I've got a bomb. It's called Clifford.
And he says his name.
Wow, Uncle Martin, do they live in a hotel?
You're not still mad.
He looks like a lawn jockey.
Yeek.
It's not Uncle Martin. Whatever would make you think that?
It's about the same size as one, too.
It's like a reverse Pee-wee Herman, speaking of.
Now, Daddy, I want
gray bow tie, red jacket. Okay.
I do remember
thinking
she looked all right in this. The hair's pulled up. And she's got an elegant dress on for the time.
Congratulations, sir.
Do you think this dinner is going to go well?
I hope you have many, many more.
Daddy, this is...
I always think those walls look like Hershey chocolate bars.
Now, look at this big fella. Clifford, is it? What do you want to be when you grow up, Cliff?
Dinosaur. Do you like dinosaurs, Miss Sarah?
I adore dinosaurs. Hey, Clifford, would you like a cup of punch?
I would like that. Very much.
Yeah, I can see that.
This old man is not impressed by this child.
Most exceptional daughter, sir. Thank you for letting me know.
You must be having the time of your life.
Why do you say that, Miss Sarah?
Oh, getting to spend time with your uncle finally.
I'm looking up to see what state she's from. I've always, tried figuring out what dialect she has with her accent.
I'm going to say Georgia.
I always loved you in that dress.
I was correct. It's Arkansas.
Is it Arkansas?
My boss is from Arkansas, so I hear that dialect and that kind of accent every day. It's not too southern, but I was thinking it was definitely like Ozarks
area.
It was either southern Missouri or Arkansas. And
yeah. You placed it. You got an ear for that kind of thing.
Oh, ooh. Yes. So we're switching out the Bloody Mary for straight Tabasco. And let the fun begin.
She was taken off to meet someone named Rowegini by a lady who looks like this.
Facelift humor.
Yeah, facelift joke.
That's what they call a facelift.
What's a facelift?
Oh.
Watch out, Hodge. I believe your drink is right there.
Oh.
Oh, Mrs. Davis.
Oh. See, Brianna likes hot sauce on everything, so I think she'd be okay with that. She doesn't like Tabasco, though.
Your 35th anniversary. That would.
Oh, so it's that brand specifically?
She's a Frank's girl.
Okay, yeah.
Usually Tabasco's like the bottom barrel of hot sauces for her.
I'm Annabelle.
You're Miss Sarah's mother. You must be the most wonderful person in the whole wide world.
What a gorgeous.
Hey, was this Weird Al's aunt in UHF?
Oh. Let's see.
Wait. I believe Uncle Mark would like to offer you a toast on this somewhat auspicious occasion.
Oh, how sweet. Parker, Sarah, everybody come on, gather around. Sarah's Martin is toasty. Come on, quickly.
I could be wrong.
Annabelle Davis. She passed 3 years ago.
First.
Yeah.
Patriarch.
Let's look here in the 90s. Oh.
35 years. A devoted husband.
She did 5 episodes of Baywatch.
Loving.
Was she in a bikini?
She was on General Hospital.
That's what I'm thinking.
She
about.
Played Amanda Barrington.
It was a General Hospital.
And then she was on Port Charles for 79 episodes. So
and he loved all 79 episodes.
She was a soaps actress, Falcon Crest.
Uh-oh. Charles Grodin's Tabasco sauce is hitting him pretty hard.
Yep.
So not UHF. Not
UHF.
Actor.
God damn it, Daniel, get on with it.
You feeling okay, Martin?
Uh-oh.
He's getting
messy. He's shatnering.
Oh, drinking straight out of the punch bowl. Like UHF.
Yeah.
Let's throw a dog in there.
So there is some kind of connection.
Yeah. Look at those baguettes.
Which one, the blonde or brunette?
Oh,
hey. You're trying to punish me.
That's a lot of wooden spoons to be smacked with right there.
What do I mean? You put something in my drink.
In your drink?
In my drink!
Great Ramon song. Somebody put something in my drink. No, I'm not even joking. That's what it's called. Richie Ramon, their drummer at the time, wrote it. It's the only song he wrote for the Ramones. And it was about the time he got a spiked drink after a show. And, yeah. It ended up being on, one of their greatest hits albums. One of their better songs from the 80s. Most of the Ramones songs most people know are from the 70s.
Right. Have you ever had that happen to you, where you took a drink of something, and later on you're like, ooh, I think there was something in that.
So the first time I ever tried alcohol was because of that. Now, I wasn't being roofied, but, a waitress switched our drinks. I went out to dinner with my grandparents, and my grandmother was a wine drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times she would drink like a good port, a very, very strong wine.
Yeah.
But I think she had a white or something that night, or the place only had that. I, being a 6 to 7 year old, ordered a Sprite. Waitress gives me the wine. It must have been like in a can and they poured it in a glass, because wine would not be served on ice.
Yeah.
And my soda must not have been either. Or she was a really bad waitress.
Or she thought you were hot and she was trying to take you home. Wait, you said you were 6 or 7?
I was 6 or 7.
Okay. She's weird.
So I get the wine. My grandma gets the Sprite. My grandma's not the one who notices the difference. I'm the one. I took a sip and I'm like, I made a face and I'm like, this doesn't taste right. And then my grandma was like, hold on a second. She tasted what she had and she's like, yeah, you have mine. And I was like, okay. So that was the first time I ever had alcohol. Because the server screwed up a wine with a Sprite.
Did your grandparents say anything? Was there any kind of repercussion for the server?
They were probably
for
trying to get you drunk and fuck anyway.
You? Okay.
They were both drinkers. Like, they drank a lot. Alcoholism definitely runs in my mother's side of the family. That's why my mom was nervous for me to be a drinker as I got older. But I have the tolerance and alcohol processing ability, I guess, that comes from my dad's side of the family. So I've never developed a problem. And yeah, my uncles
can't say the same.
Yeah.
So
I've got a little bit of that in my family too. On
that's why my mom never drank. My dad never drank because of his job. He was on call all the time and at any moment may have to go operate heavy machinery. So if he had anything in his system, he would have lost his like CDL license or whatever. Yeah. So my dad could never drink, but would have a beer occasionally. And then my mom just never had a taste for it. I think they partied before I was born, but then like after that they didn't.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing where both older brothers had this experience too. Growing up, they'd like never saw my parents drinking unless mm-hmm. it was some kind of special occasion, family get together, which happened, you know, once a year or so. I'd see my mom drink a wine cooler. And when I was 5 at my family's Halloween party, extended family Halloween party, mm-hmm. I saw my dad get pass out drunk. Like he drank and then passed out and fell asleep, but because he's so quiet, I didn't know, because he took naps all the time.
Sure.
I just thought it was regular dad. So I was lucky to have one of those dads who A, never drank, B, when he did drink, he just acted like himself.
Yeah.
Walked around in his underwear and picked up things randomly that he's seen 100 times, look at him and put him back down and walk out of the room.
Yeah, my grandpa always had a beer in his hand or, you know, nearby. I tried maybe one or two of them. Didn't do much for me as a young kid, and then I just, you know, I didn't really drink until college.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I same here. My first, like, real drink of alcohol, or, you know, drank and felt something, was my brother's wedding when I was 17.
Okay.
And the wedding gift to all of the groomsmen was a flask with Jack Daniels in it. And he didn't want to leave me out. I was the only underage groomsman, but he was like, hey, don't tell. I told mom yours is empty. Here's yours. Don't tell mom.
So,
mom, if you're listening, that never happened. I just made it up. It was a funny story.
Uncle Martin just got taken away by the police. One, Clifford replaced his chapstick with lipstick, which caused a scene at the dinner table because he looked like he was cross-dressing, I guess.
Which is a theme in this film, apparently.
And then the investigators came in looking for him because of the bomb scare threat that Clifford sent in. So now Uncle Martin's looking really bad. Why is he trying to break him and Sarah up? Does he think he's making a play and she's going to be into a 10-year-old?
I think he's still just mad at the uncle for not taking him to Dinosaur World when he said he
would. He's just going to ruin.
And he's just going to ruin
everything.
His absolutely ruin his life, apparently.
I like how we're having a conversation about the light brightness in the interrogation room.
You wanted to get caught. You were the one who called up.
Play the tape.
Hi, this is Martin Daniels. I'm not home right now, but I've got a bomb. I'd like to see it.
This is part of my answering machine message. This is a prank. This is a joke. You don't have
have to believe me. Call my home. Call my home.
Here. Speaker's on.
Hi, this is Clifford. I can't tell you where my Uncle Martin is right now, but I'll give you a hint. Kaboom!
That's a big bowl of cereal there.
Sugar in the raw.
Morning, Miss Sarah. You're all dressed up to go dreaming. Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, thank you.
I've always liked Paisley.
I'm a huge Paisley fan. I have several Paisley ties. I always get compliments on them. My favorite one is purple. And that's, of course, in tribute of Prince, one of my favorite musicians. So, rocking the purple Paisley.
You've been worried.
This is the scene I was thinking of.
Are you okay?
Hi, Uncle Martin. How was your stay in penitentiary? Did you meet any interesting hoodlums?
What happened? Are you really in trouble?
Oh, when you hear this. I've told you about Larry Gould, right?
No.
You know, Larry Gould, Mr. Practical Jokes? The whole thing was a setup.
Oh. Oh, no. I don't believe what I'm hearing.
I don't believe what I'm hearing either.
Loves his cereal.
Be careful while you eat your cereal. Use a napkin. This boy and his cereal.
So explain to me what happened.
You know, I wonder how this movie would play if it was an actual 10-year-old who's ruining people's lives, and then the uncle is pushing his face into the cereal.
Right.
Like,
I think they get away with more stuff because it was written.
I think so.
An adult's going to be playing it.
Arrested me at the party. Larry's cousins.
No, I don't think that's funny at all.
I didn't either. And then I sat down and I started thinking about it, and I got to laughing.
That is funny.
These guys are certifiable.
Tell me about it.
Oh, God, I'm so relieved. Oh, now, Clifford, see, didn't I tell you that everything would be just fine?
Yes, you did. But I don't like those men, Miss Sarah. They're liars. And everybody knows that liars eventually get caught.
That's right, you little sucker.
That's an insult you don't really hear much anymore.
The peckerhead did not survive the ages, but I think it should come back.
Sorry, I was such a...
All right, so you know how the term dumbfuck has kind of become a noun? We'll say, knock it off, you dumbfuck. Have you ever heard anyone say it, like, as an adjective then noun? Like, knock it off, you dumbfuck. Me neither. I think that we should.
Yeah.
I think we should try to bring back dumbfuck, not as a noun, but as a descriptive term to...
Right.
To say what kind of fuck with whom you were speaking. A dumb fuck. Not a dumb fuck.
Bye.
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 Oh, boy. Now he's in trouble.
I missed it.
I am now out of bail.
Was he wearing a tux? Oh, yeah. This is his steel chest and the stuff from the...
from the anniversary
party. He hasn't changed since his wife left. Okay.
I have a criminal record. But you know what you're going to have?
What?
You're going to have a one-way ticket back to your parents.
Don't send me back to my parents. They hate me.
As much as I do. Oh, stop with the fake tears.
I'm not faking. I am sorry. I'll admit anything. Just don't send me back to my parents. I'll even tell Miss Sarah that I was the one who put the lipstick in your pocket, which I didn't. It was her father who did it. He wanted to embarrass you. He said that you were a simple-minded moron.
I missed it. Is any of this true? Or okay.
No, he's just making this up.
I assumed.
Again, causing problems.
As though he were a problem child.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that?
Because he hates you. I don't know why. I certainly think you're a nice enough sort.
Sarah's father also put the hot sauce in my drink.
That I don't know.
Not the hot sauce.
Sauce.
The hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my drink.
I suspect the bartender. Theory.
Well, you know, I would suspect someone else. Now, who could that be?
If you are about to say what I think you're about to say, then I don't want to hear it. Because Sarah Davis loves you, Uncle Martin. She wouldn't do that.
I wonder how these two got along on set.
Yeah.
But every relationship goes through that.
I could see it going either way. It could be like they got along famously and had a lot of fun, or they had like a Bill Murray, Richard Dreyfuss relationship, and what about Bob?
If there was a problem, I put it all on Gruden.
Charles.
Martin seems so much fun, and I don't know. I always get a likable vibe off of him.
Absolutely.
Because like he still works with Steve Martin, and they did that like...
Which was hilarious.
...traveling show. Steve Martin has a little bit more of a reputation, I think, of being a bit stuffy at times, too.
Really? Yeah. I haven't heard that yet.
But, yeah, Martin Short, I've never really heard too many bad things about. He's Canadian, you know? That's really all you need to say.
It's the only place where a boy like me can be happy.
Yeah, he's one of those where, again, kind of like Richard Kind, I've heard people say that he's just, like, when you meet him, he's just the nicest guy that nobody's ever thought, like, oh, he's kind of weird or, you know, control freak or anything. He's just there to have a good time and get paid to do it.
There was a fun video on YouTube I watched late one night through all this COVID stuff. I think it was GQ magazine, and they did an interview with Martin where he looked back over a lot of his notable film roles throughout the years, and that was kind of fun. I mean, like, they talked about some deeper cuts, like Three Fugitives with Nick Nolte, Pure Luck with Danny Glover, and then got into, you know, the
Three Fugitives is like, still a great movie.
Yeah,
I watched it a few years ago. Holds up.
Inner Space, people remember that. Three Amigos, Father of the Bride, you know, like, his work with Steve Martin for sure. But yeah, like I didn't get into Jiminy Glick.
I'm trying to tell you something.
That his made up,
right? His alter ego
reporter.
Yeah. I only saw a few episodes.
It's an amusing concept.
The ones that I saw were hilarious because you could tell that it was just him and friends. Because his friends who would come onto the show would come as themselves, and he would interview them as celebrities, but he would be in the character of Jiminy Glick, and you could tell that they were just having a fucking blast. And like, he was always cracking up whoever the guest was, and he almost always maintained a straight face.
Yeah, maybe I need to go back and revisit some of that.
Or maybe I just happened to see, like, the three good episodes and everything else sucks. I hate it when that happens, when you're like, oh, I saw it, it was great, and somebody sees it and they tell you about it later, like, it was terrible, what's wrong with you?
Here's the deal. You go to your room, write a confession that I will take to the police, and I will not send
such
you back
a bizarre
to Paris.
Conversation.
And you tell Sarah that you and I are the best of friends.
And we are, aren't we? Shut up.
But if you even look at me funny, if you do one thing that I find weird, which is, you know, like your middle name, you're doing it right now. Can you just act like a human boy for 1 minute here?
That was a good editing choice.
Right.
You can't do it for more than a few seconds. Look at me like a human boy. Don't mess around with me. You're going to be back on that plane.
Okay, so the look he gives ends up being a part of the story. All right, I feel like people are harsh with this movie. Maybe I've just been paying attention to some of the funny parts.
Like I said,
I'm enjoying it.
I've always liked it. It's a weird, quirky movie. I understand why it wasn't a big hit, but I do think it deserves more than what it gets as far as like a cult movie status.
Go ahead, write your confession.
And yeah, I feel like
because this could be just like a Drop Dead Fred. It's
right.
Kind of a silly comedy. Does it age great? Not really.
No,
but most comedies don't. Comedies age the worst.
Yeah, because there's always socially unacceptable things that someone said, or there's, you know, an ageist or an anti-trans or a gay joke.
Sure.
Or
I mean, I've watched comedies from 10 years ago that it was just like,
I wonder if today, and I still see how it was subversive, I still see what
Webbers,
the point of it was,
that's
but I
butter.
Wonder if Tropic Thunder would hold up today.
Yeah, I have
of Robert Downey Jr.
I wasn't a huge fan when it came out. A lot of people really liked it. I thought it was eh.
It's literally one of my favorite comedies.
He put himself on a milk carton.
When's the last time you watched Big?
Fairly recently, in the past couple years.
Same
it's
here.
It's weird that Elizabeth Perkins fucks a kid.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's got weirdness to it. That's the biggest weird part of it. movie holds up. That movie it was does. Hilarious. It does. When I watched it, a year ago?
I also watched Vice Versa, which was the off-brand.
That's the like father, like son.
Oh yeah, that was the other one.
Because those came out, I think, at the same time. That was one of those competing studios.
Like father, like
trying
son. That was
movie.
Kirk Cameron and wasn't Dudley Moore? Was it?
Yeah. Which one was which? I thought that was Vice Versa.
Vice Versa.
That was Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage.
Okay, yes. I always get the two titles mixed up. That one's good. I like. Yeah, you're right. That's Vice Versa. I enjoyed Vice Versa. I thought they did a good impression of each other.
And then they had a girl version with Jennifer Garner, 13 going on 30.
That was a big remake, essentially.
Right. And that was the more modern one.
Yeah. Because the other ones, they actually switch bodies.
Oh,
it's fathers and sons.
Martin
it's
Short
Freaky
finally
Friday.
Singing. He actually has a good voice.
He does.
He's not doing it here.
He's doing Ethel Merman.
Yeah. But when he would sing during the show with him and Steve Martin,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, he's got some decent pipes.
Yeah, he can actually
hold
sing.
Up.
Yeah, the two of them, just wanted to be entertainers their whole lives, yeah. And that's part of being an entertainer.
I couldn't justify the $150 balcony seat ticket to go see him. I would like to say I went and saw Steve Martin and Martin Short, but they were doing the exact same show
exactly.
that I watched
on Netflix
from my house.
Yeah.
For free.
Right.
The same night. I intentionally watched it.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait. I hadn't seen it yet, and it worked out. So I was like, all right, cool. Well, I'll do it COVID style ahead of its time.
Is that John Cusack? No.
No. So Clifford's throwing a party at Martin's house.
Clifford's a pretty cool 10-year-old kid, I gotta say. I would totally hang with that dude.
He sings show tunes.
I wouldn't trust him.
He likes dinosaurs. He's got good taste in women. And he can throw a rager.
He actually sounds like a lot of friends I've had over the years. Would never trust him, but a lot of fun to hang out with.
And quite the physical comedian.
Yeah. I never realized until this movie what a Shatner vibe Charles Grodin sometimes has.
Okay.
I could see those
two. What happened to Charles Grodin? Where has he gone?
He said he was retiring from film in the early 90s. It might have been because of this movie. He became a talk show host for a little while. He had a news show.
Okay, I do remember that. Beethoven came out after this, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he did the Beethoven movie, obviously after this one was made, because this sat on the shelf for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap.
Uh-oh.
She's out with Dabney.
The boss.
So I thought she was a teacher. What company is giving her necklaces?
I saw you eyeing it. There you go.
A little tight. Is he talking about Mary?
I don't know what to say. It's very beautiful.
What's
oh, you can smoke in a restaurant.
I'm so excited. Excited.
She just saw him in the window.
I thought you would be.
She's busted.
I'd like to go to the ladies' room and see how it looks on me.
Okay.
I'll be right
here. Oh, standing up as she leaves the table.
Oh, he's a gentleman. No, if you meet somebody.
He also knows she's with him.
Right. He's also, trying to steal her from somebody. Steal.
He didn't give this necklace to me. The whole company gave this necklace to me.
So if you meet somebody with a hairpiece, is it a compliment to say, hey, does the rug match the carpet? Or not so much?
Yes, he also can remove his pubic hair. At will. The adhesive is a little more uncomfortable, but.
Oh. But it makes it look bigger.
Hitler jokes.
Man, Hitler jokes were huge in the late 80s and the 90s.
Come on, now, why would he do that?
Why would he do that? Because he wanted to throw a party. That's why he would do that. You don't know the first thing about Hitler, Clifford. Conniving, evil little monster.
You see, Martin, that is the reason why.
would never get married. If Clifford were your own son, you'd be talking about him the same way. It was all a big act, wasn't it?
She's always had a veiny neck.
With Clifford, the loving uncle. Well, let me tell you.
Is that a thing? Or is that like a deal breaker?
I mean, it must be a thing. What I am surprised at.
Whoa.
Oh.
Have you seen a gray collie dog around here?
More cross-dressing.
That is a very obvious theme in this film. Why does he have only one wet spot on his chest? That's a concern for me.
Is it because they're in San Francisco? Is that what the whole joke
are they
is?
Okay. I thought they were in L.A. Are they in San Francisco?
Well, he said something about San Francisco.
Oh, okay. I thought he said earlier that he was making the first mass transit in L.A., which is supposed to be, I think, a joke in and of itself.
I don't get why that just happened.
What did they ask? I missed it.
They showed up asking about a dog. Have you seen, like, a gray collie? Like, they're looking for a lost dog.
Okay.
It's just supposed to be funny because it's guys in drag. Like, okay. That's the joke. Martin Short's dancing here is funny, though, at least. We got a dance circle in the living room. Getting back to the veiny neck, I was just surprised neck piercings never became a thing. Like piercing the extra skin in your neck. Okay, yeah, his face is here. Or he's doing like a talking heads kind of thing.
Ooh, bad jump cut. I mean, I know it's a montage.
It's supposed to be, yeah. But yeah,
that's not how you do a montage.
Oh, uh-oh. Dabney, you are... Uh-oh. You vagabond, you.
I think he broke a rib.
Oh, I'm going to break more than that if you try that again.
You dick.
Ouch.
And as for this stupid thing, which I had no intention of keeping in the first place.
No.
That's not
how you... Don't think I don't know what you're doing with your romantic little dinners here.
She's still cute with that thing happening to her face.
What is this thing centered on?
It's like where you take the tape and you, like, wrap it around.
Like in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, yeah.
Oh,
she got it.
But no thanks.
Oh, if you think this frightened little high school virgin act is turning me off,
you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, there it is.
Oh my God, it's true.
Put that back.
Nope, you've emasculated him now.
Back on my head.
He can't get over. He can't get a hard on now.
There it goes.
She just defused that situation. Yeah, I think he was in San Francisco. Now he's flying back to L.A.
Oh, that's okay. That's why.
So that's why the
cross-dressing is hilarious.
Because San Francisco. Because everybody in San Francisco is gay.
I was there for 4 days, and I was in drag the entire time.
We've had people that live in San Francisco on this show. Definitely not gay. They're married.
Yeah, that's why I officiated their wedding.
I do have a friend.
Last minute, because somebody couldn't make it.
Do have a friend that's bi that lives in the Oakland area, which is close, but not the same.
No. Plus, it's not San Francisco, not gay, so...
I mean, he hasn't been with a lady in a while, but he's never said he's not anti-lady.
Okay.
So Robert just does his own thing. He is boarding him up inside the house.
Okay, so he's boarding him inside. He's not protecting himself from Clifford.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Is he going to set the house on fire? Was that a modem? Uh-oh, there's Miss Sarah.
Hello?
Clifford? Miss Sarah Davis?
He always says her full name.
Mm-hmm. Not very good.
Why?
Not very
because
well, Clifford.
Yeah. Nutty nuts. He went away for the longest time, and when he came back, he was like a crazy person.
I know what you mean, Clifford, but I think he's just overworked. I'll get the first plane home in the morning, and I'll see you then.
Love you, Miss Sarah Davis.
So is that a joke in this movie that he's creating the first successful mass transit in L.A.? and it's a monorail or some kind of elevated train, because
sometimes I scare myself.
Does that pay off the whole LA thing?
I don't remember. That looks horrible.
I'd live there.
Are those VHS tapes next to him?
He needs God, to be kind of blind. Are those like
those might be
floppy disks?
Oh, she's breaking in.
Oh, aren't you a sight for sore?
Because they didn't look like 3 1/4 or 5 1/2.
No.
Oh, Sarah Davis, my little mouth is parched from my long night of bondage.
Wow. Wow.
My little mouth is parched from a long night of bondage.
And people wonder why they didn't cast an actual 10-year-old.
Right, right. Get away from him. And he said something about his no-no place.
It was him!
I don't know what he's talking about. Why is his face twisted so?
Martin, you need help.
He's the one who needs help! He's the one! Go ahead, take him away, but don't blame me when his head starts spinning around! Watch out for the green vomit!
We get it.
Exorcist.
That was
jokes.
Another. Yeah, Exorcist jokes maintained throughout the 90s as well. They made that joke in Parenthood. They made that joke in The Great Outdoors.
It was like a 15 year window.
Because Exorcist was 79?
Yeah, it was late 70s.
Yeah. So there's a movie that definitely had staying power.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it'd be like if people kept talking about fucking pies.
I guess. I mean, it's even...
Oh, yeah. There it is. That's what it is. It's some sort of cassette.
I'm trying to think of a movie that came out like 11 years ago that people are still referencing a lot. Like
probably
a
some Will Ferrell movie.
That's probably true.
Step Brothers, maybe. Catalina Wine Mixer. That still gets... I still think that movie's funny.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
His ponytail.
Good.
He's got a new hairpiece now, and he's got a ponytail.
So now he looks exactly like Rick Baker.
Yeah.
Entire press corps here. You look like shit. Yeah, well, you look like Willie Nelson.
Dabney Coleman's always funny when he says the word shit. In Modern Problems, he has a line, "Rest in peace, dipshit."
Yeah, he says it all the time hilarious. In the Muppet movie.
Designer of this entire MagTrans project, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Martin Daniels.
All right, so here you go. This is your big payoff you were talking about.
So this is him talking about the mass transit.
Yeah, and he's got his demo cassette here.
Okay.
That will evident that lady clapped weird. Will, oh shit, that's
all right.
There you go. Kaboom. And people think like, oh yeah, that's what's really gonna happen if we have a real one. That's what's funny. Not funny, but it's like it's stupid.
Right.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, your presentation blew up, so that's exactly what will happen if it's real.
You're fired.
Of course I am.
By the way, I never loved Willie Nelson.
Such, I mean, there's like just little random lines like that I think are funny, but... Like, why is that important to say right in that moment? So this is where Uncle Martin turns into Jack Torrance.
Yeah.
And we reach the third act of the movie.
Just like Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, what was the deal with that?
There was an episode of The Next Generation.
I've seen, like, GIFs and
one of the
memes and stuff.
Best episodes ever. And I'm going to try to condense this for you, because I know that you don't actually give a shit, but...
Wow!
So, there was an episode where they come across an alien race that has died years ago. The entire race is extinct. But they wanted other races to know they existed.
Okay.
And the way they did that was they chose somebody from whatever traveling group was coming through and had them live an entire lifetime in their society. So there's one episode where Jean-Luc Picard lives an entire lifetime as somebody who would have lived in this society.
Okay. That's kind of like Doctor Who-ish.
All in a day. And in that society, his character, the person he was, played the flute very well.
Okay.
And so at the end of the episode, he goes and reflects on the entire experience in the captain's quarters and plays a song on the flute.
Gotcha.
And it's a really, really good episode. So that's why that's so often referenced.
Is it a good standalone?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll absolutely have to check that one out. So they're now at Dinosaur World, which you can tell some of that's a backdrop there.
Just a bit. Some of that's a matte painting. Some of it.
Yeah, some of it. But this is where he's wanted to go the whole time.
And this apparently got a lot of flack from critics that this looked so horrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That yeah, this big... they had 4 years. They could have made it look better.
Well, they were broke. Remember, they filed for bankruptcy.
That's true. This looks... I mean, I'm kind of cool with that.
This doesn't look that bad. I was expecting far worse from
now, 2 years
some
ago,
of the reviews that I read.
I was at Disney World. It popped up in my Facebook memories and made me wistful and slightly melancholy because I love the Disney parks and now you can't go anywhere like that right now, or you shouldn't. But there is a dinosaur ride that's there and it's kind of like this, but not quite. It's more like you're in a like a Jeep, and you're on some kind of caravan thing.
So it's kind of like a Jurassic Park sort of
very
ride.
Very similar to the Indiana Jones ride.
Okay,
it's at Disneyland.
Right.
It's just modeled after dinosaurs, and you go back in time, and you're supposed to like bring some sort of specimen back with you, and of course things go wrong. So, but this is like supposed to be a roller coaster on a track, and he's now going to make Clifford ride it for 10 hours, he said.
Hello, I'm
Pee-wee.
We got some robotics here.
Pee-wee's pterodactyls.
Terry.
Yeah.
Terry.
Yeah.
So he's psyched because this is like the what he's been wanting to do this whole time.
Okay, this looks awesome.
Yeah, and it's a single rider, though. That the line for this would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Unless you can have two people. That is quite the turn there.
I feel like I'm watching Temple of Doom.
Are you a roller coaster guy?
Oh, yeah. Big fan of roller coasters.
All right, so, yeah, so far this looks fun. What's the most you've ever done one roller coaster in a row?
Shockwave at Great America. They were closing in 15 minutes, and everybody was just trying to leave the park.
Okay.
My two brothers and I went on Shockwave 4 times in a row.
Okay.
And I think we got the front car 2 of the times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was... That was a lot of fun.
Brianna and I got to do the Incredicoaster at Disneyland California Adventure 3 times consecutively.
Nice.
Like, it was the beginning of the day, nobody was there, and we got off of it, and we're like, hey, you want to just do it again? So, yeah, like we did it 3 times in a row. It's the only coaster at Disneyland that has a loop in it, and it's super fun. I think you go like 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds or something.
Nice.
It shoots you out.
That's what I like about the vertical velocity at Great America. You do it like, I think it's 0 to 60. Yeah, same thing. It's like 2 to 3 seconds.
This looks like something out of like Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Big old T-Rex robot here. Oh, but you get to shoot it. Lasers, dinosaurs.
I see where this is going after the show. You owe me.
That's why a certain song didn't get played at the beginning of the movie. It'll all make sense, listeners. Just trust me.
That's what we did. We killed that big lock. Bravo!
And don't forget our new frozen yogurt bar in the ride.
I feel like I need to watch this movie and like really pay attention to it.
You can borrow
maybe
it.
Maybe smoke a little pot.
Maybe.
I feel like this movie has a far should have a far better reputation than it does.
So much fun. By the way, how many years do you think you'll get for kidnapping me, Uncle Ten Most Wanted?
Life. Let's go a little faster, shall we?
So we're going to speed it up now.
I am curious to know what the moral of the story is that old priest Clifford is telling little Ben Savage.
Was that scary?
Not at all. A thought occurred to me. You think that Miss Sarah and Mr. Ellis perhaps would name their first child Martin?
That is so cute. You know, Clifford, I really should have put this in hyperdrive.
Hyperdrive? A roller coaster has a hyperdrive.
Oh. Why would that even be an option? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that loop would be pretty bad.
You can see the strings.
So now things are starting to break because it's going so fast.
Because that's what most roller coaster engineers want to include in an option for speed, is hyperdrive that makes the roller coaster, which cost, a couple million dollars to make, completely fall apart.
So now the T-Rex is, knocked off of its pedestal how it's supposed to be. Oh, and the cover on it's coming off, so it looks even creepier now. It's a faceless T-Rex. Mechagodzilla style.
Yeah. There is no cool way to look going climbing up a ladder like that. Many, many actors have tried.
And there's only 10 minutes left of this, so it's going to wrap up pretty quick, because that's including credits.
And I was going to say, you have to always consider that, because today, credits are 12 minutes long.
Right. This movie is an hour and 29:59, I think. It is just under an hour and a half. So, he's about to be eaten by this robot.
There's too much Martin Short butt for one movie.
This seems kind of Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah. Or Joe Dante.
Yeah. Now the crossroads.
Uncle Martin, I'm thinking it over. Please, I'm scared.
Well, I'm scared of what might happen if I save you. I mean, maybe I have to do mankind a tremendous favor and let that dinosaur eat you. I mean, who knows what horrors you might unleash? What if you got your hands on the plutonium? I just made the best.
Oh dear. That's not a kid's stunt, man.
Oh god.
Yeah, so it ate the skeleton that was next to him.
So Uncle Martin is very reluctantly attempting to save Clifford's life.
Yeah.
And the reluctance is the important part.
Yeah. He's having his hero moment. Eventually.
Please. Oh, you can see the thing that Martin Short is being suspended on. Did you see that in that last shot? You can see the
There's something
harness or whatever it was that was keeping him from falling.
Oh, that's the seatbelt. Oh, okay.
Yeah, in that shot there next time.
Yeah, he's been holding on to the seatbelt the whole time to not fall. They better get off that track. That Triceratops is going to fall.
I don't know why critics were so harsh on the practical effects and the set.
Yeah, because that probably wasn't cheap to make.
No, everything looked fine.
Sorry. No, Clifford, don't.
I mean, for 1990 right. /
93. I can't imagine anyone ever wanting to hug you. I really am sorry. You really are sorry? You know, sorrow is a human emotion. But as we know, you're not a human boy.
You're a sociopath.
This destructive thing. Eventually, everyone just gets to hate you. Let's go.
that's how you feel, why should I go with you then?
Then don't go with me. It's your choice.
I feel like Grodin's kind of ruining the movie.
Yeah.
I don't dislike Charles Grodin, but I feel like he didn't quite know what they were going for in this film.
That I didn't care how Uncle Martin felt about me. But I was wrong.
Whoa.
The words had devastated me.
That soft dissolve was very meaningful.
I thought I was so clever.
And now we're full circle.
And yet I hadn't figured out until that moment destroy everyone who stands in the way of your dreams, then you end up alone. No dreams at all.
And if the makeup looks good on this 4K TV on a regular definition DVD, that's pretty good.
Yeah, think how it looked when you were sitting in a theater.
And, or like, you know, on a small...
Or watching it on a 13-inch on VHS.
So I've noticed that a lot. There's been some things I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks way green screeny.
Right.
I didn't notice before. So yeah, it is nice when you see the adverse thing. I think when we were doing Star Wars, I could see David Prowse's face and Darth Vader's mask.
Right, you could see his eyes.
Yeah, and
which
I'd never seen
later
before.
On, I had noticed that as a kid.
Did you? Okay.
And then just like, you know, kind of forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. We got to find out about Sarah.
This is an expression we used to use back then. I received a phone call from her. The bestest request in the whole wide world.
Ring bearer.
Aww.
She deserves better.
You mean from a ring bearer or
no, Grodin.
Agreed.
It's a weird wedding dress. That was a passionate-less kiss for a wedding.
And the second one took.
He's wanting a kiss. I don't think I've ever seen a wedding where the ring bearer is like up there the whole time between the couple.
Yeah. Also, on my wedding day, I would do something more with my hair than Charles has done here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm finally going to get my hair cut for the first time this year.
Yeah.
In a couple days. I didn't have the option of getting it cut before, and it's like, well, now I'm waiting to as close to the wedding as possible.
You're going to lose the relief pitcher look?
Yes, exactly. I look like I should be on a 1970s baseball card. Just call me Pete LeCocq.
How did you do that, Roger?
Rusty Cunts and all the Dick Pole and all those fun baseball names of the 70s. They just don't make them like that anymore.
I only remember Ryan Sandberg. It's the only remember.
Oh yeah,
only,
that's
only
not,
one I
that's,
remember.
That's
that was 80s,
wasn't it? Crazy name. Yeah, he played in 90s too.
Okay. Coach,
oh, he still has Stefan.
Mission accomplished, old friend.
Everything's probably a collector's item at that point.
Yeah, that's why he kept it. He's going to sell it on eBay for $1 million.
Still talks to a fucking toy dinosaur. So.
Seems about right.
That's Clifford.
You know what? I was not nearly as disappointed as I was planning to be.
I enjoyed it. It's exactly how I remembered it for the most part.
I mean, if you go into it expecting a kid's movie, yeah, it's fucking weird. But if you go into it expecting to see a movie starring Martin Short as a kid, I think you're going to get what you expected.
And I do think... it's definitely not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
I don't think Brianna would appreciate it as much as me and you. It's a different style of comedy. I think Jackson would probably find it funny watching it as a 10-year-old.
It's basically stupid comedy with a lighthearted story.
Yeah. Well, the end credits are running, so we're going to run our end credits song, which I'm very excited about. It's from a band called Ninja Sex Party. If you're unfamiliar with them, look up some of their music. It's great. You're going to hear one song here that is very appropriate because it's called Dinosaur Laser Fight.
And we've had a lot of that in this movie.
Yes, that was the whole reason I was saving it for the end. Lots of dinosaurs in this movie, and then there was the laser. on the coaster. So
also, if you watch the video, lots of adults playing children. So yes, there's a huge connection there as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So look it up on YouTube and watch the video. It's from like, man, almost a decade ago that song came out. Yep. It has millions of views. But yeah, Ninja Sex Party is just their fun kind of jokey funk party music.
Great musicians just having a good time.
Yeah, and if you enjoy them, also check out TWRP. They're another band that's kind of in the same vein. It's, I'm trying to remember what it stands for. It's something about Tupperware remix party. I don't know. They've done a collaboration called The Hit. It sounds like one of the best Daft Punk songs you've ever heard in your life. It's just so funky. Their bass player dresses up like a lion. They are a sight to behold. Their guitar player is a robot. The lead singer has a traffic cone on his head. It's very Devo meets furries, I guess. I don't even know, but so check out Ninja Sex Party and TWRP. But this song, this is Dinosaur Laser Fight, so enjoy it here on Drunk at the Movies.
Hello, class. I'm sorry, but your normal professor couldn't be here today. So Ninja Brian and I are going to be your substitute teachers. Are you ready to learn? All right! Hit it.
Hey, boys and girls, this ninja science lesson's gonna rock the world. Now close your eyes and travel back in time with me and Ninja Brian. It's gonna blow your mind to shit. It was an ordinary day in dinosaur hide, but Stegosaurus raised his hand to call for high fives. Tyrannosaurus saw this and got pissed, because his tiny wrist caused his eye fire to miss. And he was like, fuck this! Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Futuristic prehistoric throwdown, but it was quiet because in space there was no sound. Did we mention that this took place in space? It did, so shut your face. Also, there were robots and sharks.
Dr. Sexbang, did this really happen?
Showed up all ripping solos on Vietnam guitars. The dino sharks and robots saw they came in peace, so they killed them with lasers. Holy shit!
I feel bad for the grip of this movie, whose name was Dick Moron.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Martin Short, the cast of characters, way down in the credits.
I like it when filmmakers do that, and when they do that with the credits, because it kind of makes you sit through the credits and respect all
Timothy
the people behind
Stack?
The screen.
Like the Timothy Stack from Son of the Beach?
I don't know.
And My Name Is Earl?
I'm unfamiliar with Timothy Stack.
Okay, yeah, it was a Baywatch parody show. And he played the David Hasselhoff character.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of a schlubby guy. But he also would pop up on My Name Is Earl frequently playing a drunk version of himself.
And who was he in this?
He played, it said, Kevin's dad. I don't remember who Kevin is. Maybe the kid at the
kid that they swap clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it might have been a blink and you miss it type of thing. But yeah, it may have indeed been television's Timothy Stack, as he is referred to on
gotcha.
My Name Is Earl. The last episode I watched recently of that, I've been rewatching the series, he was driving a bumper car down the road intoxicated, and he got pulled over by Mike O'Malley on their episode of Cops. Subtitles Incorrect.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm not going to give credit to those guys.
Yeah, they did not do very well. But I don't know. I'm always nostalgia for anything with the Orion.
Right.
At the beginning. It's. I mean, and I love the MGM line, of course.
Because now I just want to watch Wizard of Oz and...
And Strange Brew. I was going to say listen to Dark Side of the Moon, but I'm thinking of the Crank and the Tail. Yeah,
Rick Moranis is Crank and the Tail or whatever.
Such a great movie. Anyway,
that was the second episode of Drunk at the Movies right. was Strange Brew. Yep. That was Clifford. Seth, thank you for indulging me and watching.
Thanks
that.
For introducing me to it. I avoided it for years and I wish I hadn't.
Yeah. Well, better late than never, I say.
Agreed.
Well, we're not going to tell you what we're watching next time because we don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we don't
know. We'll let you know when we know.
We don't know when. We know where it'll happen. But just stay tuned to the channel. You already hit subscribe, most likely.
There was something I mentioned earlier that you haven't seen that I said, you should see it. We'll watch that. We'll find out what it was when you're editing the show.
We'll look it up on that app and figure out how we can track it down. So until next time, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
Saying you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Clifford, but it doesn't hurt. We'll see you next time.